The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Bye, good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12, Man in Line with you through till one. 37 new cases of COVID-19 detected yesterday. We now have 350 active cases on the island. Five people are in Nobles with COVID, no one in ICU. 240 people waiting for the result of a test, and 87 people booked in for a test today from the vaccination dashboard. 65,468 first doses have been administered, and 63,858 second doses. A grand total, by the way, if you're counting, 129,318 jabs in somebody's arm have taken place, and 105 people booked in for the next 7 days. Department of Health and Social Care's currently keeping 14,412 shots of vaccine in the fridge at the moment. And coronavirus, you heard in the news, David Ashford, the Health and Social Care Minister, says coronavirus is a clear and present danger to residents of the Isle of Man. The Health Minister brought the latest changes to the Isle of Man's COVID regulations to Tynwald. Big day today, of course. The changes have been in place since the 16th of September. It's the first time politicians have been able to debate the measures. Mr. Ashford warns against complacency.
The prevalence rate of cases on the island is now broadly similar to that of our neighbours across the British Isles. And to that extent, these further changes are now being brought forward to further move to that goal of unrestricted travel. We must not be complacent, however. The virus still presents a clear and present danger to our island, and we must continue to work hard in promoting information, in encouraging best practices, in taking steps to minimise transmission, and being ready to respond should a new variant of concern develop. All of this must continue. We must continue to be safe, be smart, and be kind. But we must also learn to live in a world with the virus. And these changes provide the next gradual set of adjustments towards doing so.
It seems to be going fairly well at the moment. I don't know how your lifestyle is at the moment, what particular precautions you're doing. If you go out, if you go into shops, public places, if you wear a face covering, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. Do you sanitize every time you go into a retail outlet? Do you make sure if you go into a supermarket that you sanitize the handle of the basket that you're using? I just wonder exactly where you think, you know, whereabouts are you? Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yeah, just listen to you on the COVID. I'm just going out down, actually, to do me sanitising job down at the supermarket. I've just got, and my wife got her letter this morning offering our booster jabs. And reading on it, paragraph 4, it only nominates Pfizer, BioNTech, or the Moderna. They are the three types of vaccine that will be administered for the booster jab. But we've had our initial ones, it was February and March, we had the AstraZeneca. No problems with it at all. And I'm not anti-vax. But the last line in that paragraph says, only if you are clinically unable to have any of the others, will they administer the AstraZeneca? Is there any given reason for this? You know, I was all prepared to have the booster, but I've turned this one down this morning on the grounds that we both had AstraZeneca, and I'm wary about the mix and match. So the letter does state that it'll be one of those three that will be given as the booster.
So it's only Pfizer,
BioNTech,
and Moderna.
Yeah, they will be administered. Yet I've just heard you saying there's 14,000 vaccinations being held in abeyance.
Yes.
Now, how many of each are held there, or are they largely the Pfizer?
Howard, why are you hesitant about mixing and matching?
I haven't. Well, I'm just wary about it. I am. There's no real details on it. I've looked it up on the internet this morning. And there's all different ways of it affecting, etc. Go ahead, by all means, if you want to. I'm not saying don't do it, but this is my personal choice. And I think there's no real scientific evaluation of it as such. It's a totally different makeup, apparently, of the vaccine. So if you feel like you want to go ahead, go ahead. But read the paragraph 4 and draw your own conclusions.
So would you be happy if somebody from government came on and just explained what the rationale is for all this?
Well, why? I haven't had the AstraZeneca, and a lot of people on the island have had AstraZeneca. Why do you not have a continuity of it? Whereas if you go in and you have a whooping cough, you'll get a vaccine that's a booster for the whooping cough, and it'll be the same thing. Mumps, measles, rubella, you'll get the same one. But here, they're swapping and changing.
And it's interesting that on the Isle of Man, 57-58% of the vaccines administered on the Isle of Man have been Oxford AstraZeneca.
Yep. Will someone, or can someone, who is in authority and can give a sensible answer, a truthful answer, as to why it's been restricted to those three vaccines? But as I say, it's a personal issue. I'm not anti-vax. My wife is going down, and she's going to have her booster. My sister, she's going down to have hers. She's got the same letter this morning. But this is a personal choice, and I'm not advising in any means not to have the vaccine.
I just hope it's not simply the fact that they've got a lot of Moderna left, because only 4% of vaccinations administered have been Moderna. The vast majority, 58%, have been Oxford AstraZeneca, 38% odd have been Pfizer, and just 3.5%, almost 4%, have been Moderna. So you just hope it's not because they've got a lot left in the fridge.
Well, that was, I said that to my wife this morning. She says, don't be stupid, grow up. And you've got to raise these things in your head. Are they possibilities?
No, I think you're right to do it, and the government's been fairly good at that in the past, of getting information out and just saying why something is. So if there is a specific reason, then it would be nice to know, Howard.
Yes. Well, that's my sentiment entirely. As I say, this letter, it goes down, and I was only ringing up simply because my wife's appointment was half an hour before mine. And as I drive, she doesn't. We would have been sitting there for half an hour in the car park waiting for his jab. But then I read the rest of the paragraph, and that's when I found out there was a restriction, not entirely unable to. You have to have clinical reason, which means you have to go to your doctor.
Okay.
And, to go and get the AstraZeneca.
Okay. All right, Howard. Well, we'll put the question.
Thanks, Andy. Bye now.
Thanks for talking. It's 12:15 on Manx Radio. A note in just said, in response to the issue of shortage of nurses at Nobles, we were talking about this yesterday, in the fact that the age range, the demographics means we could be 50% down on nurses in 5 years. And what was it? Something like 30% if the ones that could retire did retire today. In response to the issue of shortage of nurses at Nobles and the need to train more nurses on the Isle of Man, the Centre for Nurse Education grades entries are over and above the universities in the UK. The grades required here are high. Now, I appreciate students need a good standard of education, says that correspondent, before applying. But are we wanting good nurses, or do we want academics? Oh, we come back to the old vocational thing, don't we? So academics may not be terribly practical, but they inevitably are fairly clever. Speaking from experience, says this correspondent, my daughter applied, got accepted on the course, and didn't quite make the grades required. She was the first COVID year group to have teacher assessment. What a mess that was. The Centre for Nurse Education withdrew their offer. She was devastated. Thankfully, she took up a place that was offered to her at Edge Hill in Liverpool, and she's working now hard as a student nurse and loving every moment. Asked whether she'll come home when she qualifies, absolutely not. The Isle of Man, she says, let me down when I needed the most. No wonder we've got a shortage of nurses. Pamela, thanks for that information. It's interesting just to see where we are. Eddie joins us now. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing? All right.
Good, Eddie. What's on your mind today?
Well, are the figures up or down at the moment in infections?
Are what? Infections?
Yeah, the up or are they down over the last week, say?
I think they're slightly up. We've got 350 at the moment.
Yeah, well, this is just maybe a suggestion for the powers that be, like. We've just been away to a funeral in England. I did say I didn't want to go away, but we've had to. But on the way back, I noticed something which struck me as a bit silly, really, and that is when you get to Liverpool, you have to do all the checks and everything that you need to do to get on board. You're actually in a very contained area with a lot of people all together. But then when you get on the boat and you come over to Douglas, what do they do to you this end? But you're all crammed in a corridor doing exactly the same thing as you did when you got on. They've already been checked. We're not going to pick any passengers up on the way over, are we?
I wonder why that is.
I have no idea, but it struck me as being very silly because when we got to the Douglas end, they let everybody off the boat, but then you're stopped by two people checking your documents again, which you've already done at the other end. And everybody was jam-packed in that little corridor at Douglas. And it just silly. We stayed right at the back, purposely, you know, to distance. But there was no social distancing at all. They were like sardines.
Who was checking the documents, Eddie?
Just two yellow jacketed, accompanied by police officers standing watching over. Just to check all your documents.
Right. Okay. And what time of day was this?
This wasn't day. It was 7 o'clock boat from Liverpool. Gets in at 10:10.
Right, I see. I'm thinking, Eddie, that's why I asked if there were police there. Maybe they were checking for criminals on the boat.
Yeah, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is the fact that you checked all the documents again when we've already done it at the other end. Hmm. You know what? We're not going to pick passengers up on the way over, are we?
Not unless they're on a jet ski, put it that way.
Yeah, well, it just seemed illogical to get everybody back into a sardine state when it was unnecessary. If they'd have let everybody flow off distancing, that would have been right. I mean, the police can still do their job by picking up people they want to do, but it was the fact that we were checked again. And we've already done it to get on the boat.
Okay. Are you sanitising your hands? Are you wearing a face covering at all, Eddie?
Yeah. Oh, why not? Whenever I'm travelling and that. I didn't really want to go away, but, you know, we had a bereavement and it was just a case of I got to, you know. But it's the first time I've been away in 2 years.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being with us, Eddie.
Okay. Bye.
It's 20 past 12 on Manx Radio. A note in just says, hi, Andy, I'm between first and second jabs. I sanitise my hands before going out, and when I get home, I wear a mask when shopping. And have noticed in town recently, hardly anybody shopping is wearing a face covering. Today, I've also noticed people starting to look at me because I'm wearing a face covering. Shop staff are now wearing them again. I think a lot of people think vaccinations will protect them or are unaware that they still can catch COVID. Fiona. Hello, Fiona.
Hello. Good morning, Andy. I picked up the one before last person who was very unsure about having a Pfizer or Moderna or BioNTech booster. And I just wanted to say that, A, I'm surprised, and I don't know if the government or the health service have explained to people why it's a good idea to have a different booster from the previous vaccines, because they should explain to people, because other people will be a bit nervous as to what their immune system, how they will react to a different one.
What's your view, Fiona?
Pardon?
What's your view?
Sorry? When I read it, which was a few weeks ago, when I read about previous studies and the data, I've had a scientific background, and I think it's very essential that one follows the science and the data and the studies that are ongoing in this new situation. And my own reading of the studies is that it's actually beneficial if you've had the AstraZeneca jabs, for instance, to have a Pfizer or Moderna booster. And the reason being, as was explained, is that your immune system has an enhanced reaction by having a different booster. So I'm surprised that the public, if they haven't been explained this officially, I don't know if they have or not, but that was my reading of the data. And I think it's very important that we have a frontline statement about these things to reassure the public, because there are so many beliefs out there. There is so much misinformation. As an ex-psychologist doing cognitive therapy to modify people's dysfunctional thinking because of all the emotional problems it causes, it's caused huge problems in these days of COVID, because you have all these anti-vaxxers putting other people at risk because they will not go on mainline data collection. They get on to all these wacky doctors with strange ideas, which is not good science. Anyway, I just wanted to say that that was my understanding, that people don't need to be afraid of having a different booster jab. It's likely to actually benefit them.
Interesting.
I'm not talking as the voice of authority, though.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, Fiona, what you say. It's just that nobody quite knows what reality is, do they, at the moment?
Well, this is why science is essential. There is bad science out there, and there is conflicted science. I might mention the drug companies being one sector of society who have financial gain, and they are conflicted, and some of their research is not trustworthy at all. But with these vaccines, governments are being very careful to go on kosher data collection, i.e. done by universities which do not have a profit conflict. Say, like the AstraZeneca was produced in Oxford by Sarah Gilbert's team with no financial gain initially at all, only covering costs. So you could trust what they were doing.
Okay,
and
all
they
right.
gave it out with no profit. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say is I wish people would research things properly, and then you wouldn't have all these doubts and misinformation.
Okay, Fiona, that's good. Thanks for calling us today. It's good to hear from you. A note in just saying, Andy, the booster jab is no different from catching the real COVID, i.e. not the same as vaccination. Shouldn't really matter to the original jab, if any. You will get wider protection if you mix and match, as it were, says Peter. But somebody else just said, I agree with you, that you call it the booster jab should be the same as the original jab for continuity. So is continuity the thing? Howard said the booster jab has been narrowed to three vaccines. Pfizer and BioNTech, same thing. Yes, we understand that. Moderna. So it's two, not three. Pfizer, BioNTech, BioNTech, however you want to say it, and Moderna, but not AstraZeneca. Let's see. This is Dick who just said, Andy, I find it a bit hypocritical to be told that COVID presents a clear and present danger and that we have to be vigilant by social distancing, wear masks in crowded indoor spaces and what have you. So why did all the new MHKs bundle up for a group photograph? Why is the hospital still wearing masks, but the chief exec can spend hours in a Manx radio studio on election night? Well, she didn't have to. She wasn't forced to. But what they, Dick says is they should do as they say, and maybe then others will follow as well. I think you have to follow what they say, Dick. Nothing is compulsory. You have to make your own choice. The government is advocating vigilance. That's what they say. But they've always said they're not forcing you to do anything. A number of concerns were raised in the court of Tynwald today, including the impact on tourism of coronavirus, whether the emergency advisory group is being listened to, and issues with, get this, communication. You'll hear Onkham member Rob Callister, Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, and the new boy in Arbury Castle Town and Maloo, Tim Glover.
With regards to opening our borders, can the Minister give any reassurance that our borders will be fully open ahead of the 2021 season, which they will desperately need if we are going to rebuild and revive and thrive our tourist sector once again? Can he give any reassurance to that?
The EAG have published on the government website their latest advice, which is a month old at this date, from the 1st of September, which does talk a bit about variants of concern and actually asks the Council of Ministers to develop a strategy to ensure a sufficiently robust detection and mitigation plan in place in the event of emerging variants of concern. Can the Minister advise whether Comin have actually started this, have this in place? Because the response they published on the 1st of September was very vague and quite unhelpful in that respect.
Some people feel, let's just get on with it. Some still feel very frightened, and others feel abandoned with the current strategy that we're going. Those are the sentiments that have come across.
Yeah.
The vaccines, I think the language needs to be very careful, because it's been put down as it is a personal choice, yet some of the language seems to be pressurising those that have taken the choice not to be vaccinated. And I just flagged that up because I think we need to be very careful with the use of language.
29 minutes past 12 on Man in Line. Wolf's with us. Hi, Wolf.
Hi, Andy. Listen, it's just a short one. The new plans, or the plans for Ramsey Quayside, alteration of Ramsey Quayside, are now in the town hall at the moment in Ramsey. Anybody wants to go and look, and there's a book there to put your comments down and what you think about it. Now, also, on Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening at the grammar school, there's another presentation showing you're talking all about it. And you can shout at the planners or do what you like, you know.
Are these DOI? Is this a DOI presentation?
Yeah, whatever they call it. I don't know who they are. I think they're clowns myself, but then that's my opinion.
A lot of people are saying, though, Will, I mean, is this a done deal? Is this going to happen anyway, come what may?
It looks like it. It looks like it's a done deal. But if enough, there is, I believe, I haven't got this Facebook thing or anything like that, but I'm told there's a petition gone on Facebook against it, and it's growing by the minute.
What particularly are you concerned about, Wilf?
Well, it's a sledgehammer to crack a nut. All that's required, I told them what to do, but don't take any notes of me. The water never reaches the bottom when it's flooding off the chains, the dip in the chains. All you require is a wall 2 foot high. You can increase it in the future if you wanted to, but that's all that's required. The amount, 2 foot high, that'll do the whole job. Replace the chains with a wall 2 foot high. You can stand over it, you can sit on it, do what you like. But they've got all these other things. Well, the stupid glass wall and all that crap, and they want to put a wall up 1.4 meters high. From the top end of the quay right down to the swing bridge. So anybody in a wheelchair or kids in a pram, whatever, they can't even see the harbour. It's ridiculous. And big lumps of concrete stuck out in the road for the drunks to fight on. You never heard anything stupid in your life.
Okay, right, so the plans are at Ramsey Town Hall, and Friday 6 o'clock at RGS, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
But they put it on at a bad time, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Friday, people are doing their shopping and all the rest of it, getting tea, getting ready to go out to the pub and all the rest of it. It should have been at least 7 o'clock.
Okay. What time does it wrap up on Friday?
No, I can't tell you about that. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Well, maybe there'll be a queue.
I urge everybody in Ramsey to go and that can go to go.
Okay. All right.
It concerns them.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Wilf.
All right. Right.
Good to talk to you. And Juan's with us. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Well, I'm happy today. It's very nice. Our new Tim Wald has met. All the new people are in there.
Well, there we go. Let's hope for a bright future. I'm just listening to Tim Glover there. That's a good start. Tim's off and running. So that's a good start for us. I'm just picking up on a few things that were said there, and obviously I'm in the middle of the road on this one now. I'll say a few things. The woman who was on before there who said she had a psychology degree, etc. And I found a little bit of contradiction in what she was saying there. I mean, one minute she's saying about, you know, people trust the science, and then on the next thing she's coming around and saying, well, there's good science and there's bad science. Well, we're back to square one, aren't we? Which is the good science and which is the bad science? Which is the one that we're getting told to go for? I mean, you're talking about, as Howard said there, the AstraZeneca is not going to be available. Now, the AstraZeneca had problems with clotting, but it wouldn't be to do with the AstraZeneca was only costing $1.90 and Pfizer's costing $9.50. So it wouldn't be about following the money trail there, would it? And obviously, Trudeau's just signed a two-year contract with Pfizer for vaccinations up to 2024, I believe, reading through the medias.
Well, hopefully somebody will come and tell us why that is the case on the island.
Well, yeah, let's hope so. And again, you know, transparency. This is the problem, and this is why there's so many people that not going for these follow-up jabs. Because from what I can see, that this is going to be a booster that they're going to want every year, and it's all well and good that you keep putting out this narrative of no one is forced to take it, and this is the narrative that keeps going out there. Well, you try and travel or go anywhere without complications, and you'll find how easy that is. Not very easy at all. And if you look at the English government now, they've just brought out yesterday, I think, their Plan B for the winter, which is vaccine passports, which is that's where the story is ending up, isn't it? If you're the author of the book, you write the end before the start, and the vaccine passports is where they want it to be. The Plan A is not going to work anyway because there's going to be another variant rollout, and Plan B is going to come in. And it's unfortunate, but you know, if you're rolling out a Plan B, you're almost thinking where this is going to end up. But the lady said about independent studies. Well, if you follow that trail back, you find who actually funds Harvard and Imperial and John Hopkins, and then you source that trail back, and then you find out who's actually in charge of the Gavi groups and all that, who have vested interests. And that's why people are so sceptical, because like that lady quite rightly said, but contradicted it, is you've got to go back to vested interests. If there's people there that are just in it for your health and nothing else, then that's fine. But over the last 60 years, that's changed because the pharmaceutical industry runs the health industry, and that's the problem that you have. There's always a money trail.
So, Juan, have you had a vaccine yet?
I haven't, Andy, and you know what?
Will there be a day when you will have a vaccine?
You know, it's sooner or later down the line it's going to affect my lifestyle, and that's the problem. What people are not seeing is the fact that around the world there's class action starting to be taken, and there's people now going down the legal route. But like turning a tanker in the water, it takes a long time to get things through government and through law. But there is a lot of people out there. I mean, they're reckoning that 50% of America is not vaccinated, and there's a huge push on there from the current presidential team to vaccinate people. But people are very, very hesitant. And yes, there is a lot of bad press out there with stuff on Facebook and other...
But I mean, America's full of that anyway, isn't it, Juan? The whole OxyCon thing and everything that happened in America, all the opioid stuff that went on, prescribing the prescription drugs that can be are available. Class actions in America are, you know, 10 a penny, aren't they?
Yeah, yes, they are. But we're talking now. I mean, I chose America there because, you know, it's a big. You were talking about a big continent. Even in Germany, before Christmas, you're talking a million people in the streets protesting. And again, all this stuff, the narrative is stopped. It's been hidden. It's been censored. There's a massive amount of people around the world who are very dubious about going into this vaccination system for whatever reason. And I think there's a lot to be said of, like, you know, don't believe what I say, but go and research it for yourself. Mm. Don't just take the first answer that you get, but actually just go out and take some time to research it, because it's your body and what you're putting into your body. It's important, you know. People need to. I hear this all the time when I sit middle ground, and people go, "Yeah, well, what about the iron lung? And what about polio? And what about TB?" I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, there's little things there. You know, you didn't make you sit down in a room and sign a total liability disclaimer against any government and any pharmaceutical company before you put a certain vaccine in your body. There's certain little things with this, and." Everyone's keen to go on this. The people are anti-vaxxers. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're just people who have actually studied the science. And back to what that woman just said, good science and bad science, which side are we on?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Cheers, Andy.
Good to talk to you. It's 22 minutes now before 1 o'clock. I trust, says Gaz, a certain number of the new politicians who've pledged to stop waste will look at the Manx National Heritage figure of £750,000 for replacing... repairing the Laxey wheel. Didn't M&H want a ridiculous amount of money to move that old boat?
Calling all grown-ups. We need you to be a foster carer. Right now, there are young superheroes like me across the island who are looking for super carers. Anyone can wear a cape and run around stopping bad guys, but being someone who helps a young person grow, being someone who inspires, that's a real superhero. To find out more about the Mockingbird Family Model Pilot and the Family Placement Service, call 61000.
For expert equine services, choose Milan Vets, where your horse will be well looked after by dedicated professionals. Milan Vets' comprehensive range of equine services includes lameness workups, x-rays and ultrasound, blood sampling and fertility work. They also offer pre-purchase examinations and discounts are available for chronic medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call 674-532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all your creatures, great and small.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
Dine in at Pizzeria at Pizza Napoli Douglas. Open with a fully licensed bar and a wide range of new food offerings, including pasta, arancini starters, burgers, and of course, pizza. Order a full pizza or just buy the slice and check out our desserts menu. Dine in for an evening meal Tuesdays to Sundays. Call to book on 813 100. That's 813 100 or online at pizzanapoli.im. Pizza Napoli.
Manx Radio's big winning weekend wordplay.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues. And this time we've teamed up with our friends at Port St Mary Golf Pavilion to give you the chance to win a two-course carvery for four and a bottle of wine. All you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. And then tune in to Monday morning's breakfast show to see if you're a winner with Port St Mary Golf Pavilion and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Quickly, got to tell you, the farmers market's on at St John's Church Hall today. It's on till 3 every Thursday, organised by Alaman Farmers Markets, which is an affiliation of people who want to promote, grow, and, you know, the selling of Manx food and products as well. So if you want to nip along there, it's on lots of skeet normally as well at the farmers market on till 3 at St John's Church Hall. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I've received my invitation for me booster, Andy. And we'll have you going down. Too right, I'll be going down, Andy. And anybody says that I think Joe needs help or a shrink or something, you know, Andy. Because he goes on about all these. He's got a lot of information, but I think most of it is absolute rubbish. But even though I had the COVID about a month ago, Andy, I'm still going down.
Okay, no question whatsoever, Tommy.
Oh, no, and the Pfizer, I had the double Pfizer jab back in March, so I'll be there, Andy. I mean, do you think all these Manx care are doing this just for something to do? Andy, it's ludicrous. You know, just get yourself down. You know, it's not going to kill you. It might help you. Well, it helped me, Andy, when I had the COVID. My symptoms were mild, you know, compared. I didn't have any fever. I didn't have any ache in any of my limbs, legs or arms. And so I put that down to the double jab.
Have you had your flu jab as well, Tommy?
No, I haven't got an invitation for that yet, Andy, but I certainly will for the flu jab as well. Of course.
Okay.
They're trying to help us, Andy, not hinder us, you know.
All right, Tommy, thanks for calling today.
Yes, bud, thank you.
18 minutes before one. While we're talking about the farmers market, which is on at St John's Church Hall today, just a quick word. Dalby Harvest is on this Sunday, Dalby Schoolrooms, at noon till 5. It's going to be Dalby Schoolrooms, cakes and produce and harvest lunches, teas, cakes and coffees throughout the day, and followed by the Harvest Home in the church at 5:30. Paul Castain's the soloist there on Sunday. Dalby Schoolrooms, then into the church, reflections on the harvest by local people and farmers, and a traditional harvest hymn service as well, and tea after as well. Proceeds, by the way, are going to Dalby Church Restoration Fund, the Manx charity Bees for Burundi, and Alana's gift to support children with special needs at St John's School. That's Dalby Harvest stuff from this Sunday lunchtime. It's on from noon till 5, and then the Harvest Home in the church at 5:30. We're talking about just a quick word from Eric, who just said my first gripe is, who told the chief constable to tell the force to turn a blind to the Weed Act? And if I may, my second gripe is, why was the last House of Keys pressing for young people to buy the first-time buyer scheme, with the members knowing that people will have someday, if they take ill and have to go into a home and pay £200 a day to be looked after, even at a basic level, while having to use the house as payment with no means to be able to sell or leave the house to family members? So if we're basically encouraging people to buy homes, is this, I think Eric's saying, to fund healthcare in the future when you have to sell your home? The other thing is, says Eric, I'd agree to pay 10p extra per gallon on petrol to help towards the government to pay for care homes to be free for all, rather than give the extra money to countries around the world that we never see. So 3p on petrol, how about that? Oh, we're talking of petrol. Here's a message in from Peter, who just said that we've had comments about E10 petrol on Man in Line. Some of them are incorrect. Now, the Manx government can't easily offer E10 petrol on the island, as E10 petrol doesn't travel well, which would require the ethanol to be added on the Isle of Man. Now, ethanol is hygroscopic and takes on water from the atmosphere via vents in petrol tanks. So the water then sits at the bottom, obviously, because it's heavier, and over time it causes the tank to rust. E10 also damages some types of rubber and plastic hoses and gaskets as well. You would think not having E10 on the Isle of Man will be a good thing, which I do, says Peter, when considering the damage it could do to some vehicles. But if anybody visits the UK regularly, where E10 will be the norm, I suggest a diesel-powered vehicle will be the best bet. It's not long ago the UK government was encouraging people to buy diesel-powered vehicles as they were considered less damaging to the environment. Well, the E10 petrol isn't coming to the Isle of Man, but certainly in England they've found an awful way of getting rid of all the old petrol by talking about a shortage. So that E10 petrol will be there as quick as a flash in England. Man in Line on Manx Radio. It's on till one. Thank you for tuning in today. It's good to have you along. A message in just to say, just get the vaccine. This is Jane saying, Howard, get the vaccine on offer, whether it's different or not. There's research to show that a different vaccine stimulates different immune responses and improves protection. So mix and max, says Jane, is better. And she just points out that Pfizer and BioNTech are the same thing as well. So just two as well. And a message, as a matter of interest, a friend in the UK, says Patricia, volunteered for trialing the vaccines since vaccines began. He's had three different vaccines. That's dedication to the cause, isn't it, as well? A note in just regarding Eddie's call. The landing card is what's checked in Douglas. In Liverpool, they check ID and the boarding card. They don't do the same thing, says Dewan. Not that Dewan, but another Dewan as well. People also possibly using false ID, says Dave as well. The police check when you get off the boat, says Gary, is for the landing form. They don't check that on the UK side as well. A message in just to say, due to nobody wearing masks in school, says ALF and UCM, very little has been done to improve their safety. There's a hell of a lot of double jabbed teachers and lecturers succumbing to COVID. Is there? There's been hardly any cover for sick teachers and lecturers in normal times. The chances of schooling continuing for much longer if the teachers are catching COVID, very slim. And Gaz said, Dr. Hewitt said at the start of the vaccine programme that the different vaccines couldn't be mixed. Did she say that? My concern is mixing AstraZeneca and Pfizer, then having a flu jab at the same time, which is apparently the plan. Thanks for tuning in today. Oh, and by the way, thanks also. I've had loads of messages in which I've meant to come to over the past couple of weeks, but we've been in the middle of COVID. Lots of people from around the world listening to Manx Radio's Man in Line as a podcast. So good day, good evening, good afternoon, good night to everybody listening to Manx Radio's Man in Line as a podcast around the world. Of course, you can listen any time of day or night. Now, Man in Line has become one of the Isle of Man's most subscribed to podcasts. And if you know anybody, any Manxes around the world who want to enjoy our daily little bulletin of skeet and loving awareness from the Isle of Man, tell them that Man in Line's available as a podcast. You go to Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, Spotify, TuneIn. They're all there. It's available on some microwave ovens as well. Get all the details at manxradio.com or any search engine for the Man in Line podcast.
Like the sound of a flexible pay-as-you-go plan with no ties? Sure you do. Our simple-to-use pay-as-you-go plans are contract-free and put you in control. So you only pay for what you want when you need it. And you even get unlimited data when you top up using our app. Freedom has never felt so good. Visit Shore.com today and...
Together, we can prevent suicide. But would you know what to do if a friend, colleague, or loved one needed help? With an assist course from St. John Ambulance, you could learn the skills to intervene and help someone stay safe. Your knowledge could be the difference between a life lost and a life saved. Learn life-supporting applied suicide intervention skills on a St. John Ambulance assist course. For more information, call St. John Ambulance on 674 387.
Oh, look, he's sleeping like a baby. He always sleeps well knowing we're fully covered by our Blackford & Company's car insurance policy.
They offer great value car and van insurance for all Isle of Man residents with internet prices, local service and advice, and help when you really need it. So call 832 042 today for a quotation or visit manxcover.com.
Think local, stay local. Think Blackford & Company for car and van insurance on 832 042.
Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612-333 or find them on Facebook. And swap your old for new.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And, of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways' fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AMF. FM online on smart speakers and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
9 minutes before one. It's good to have you along this lunchtime. At the beginning of vaccinations, does nobody remember David Ashford? Very insistent. They couldn't be mixed, says Beth. Did he actually say that? I'm trying to get to the bottom of that. Did Mr. Ashford say that they weren't good, or you couldn't mix them, or they shouldn't, or... Anyway, it'd be nice to hear from the government what the story is if the boosters are only going to be Moderna and Pfizer. The problem with the nursing profession is was getting rid of SEN, state-enrolled nurses. They were the backbone of the hospital, says Patricia. The workers dedicated to the job prepared to get their backs into the job. Care and empathy. Majority of people coming out of university with nursing degrees are paper pushers, not prepared to do bedpans, bed baths, and everything that actually goes with actual nursing as well. Bill says, I still don't get it. 99% plus recovery rate. I don't see why anyone ill. All I know is it's just like a cold, and the best that there's here. And sorry, Bill, you'll have to just send me that in English if you would. That'd be great. Regarding the Lexi wheel, which is pictured on all our £20 notes, apparently this is causing problems. Of course, no, we don't have problems. We have challenges. If the Victorians had had this attitude, we wouldn't have it today, says John. I'll say go even further than that, John. If you imagine trying to put in a planning application for a lead mine in Laxey nowadays, can you imagine how far that would get with the green agenda? We're going to put a lead mine in Laxey and we're going to put an enormous wheel in the middle of the Laxey Valley. Wouldn't really happen, would it? Could I say, Mary, thank you to the gentleman who stopped and offered help when I fell this morning while walking my dog. Several cars whizzed past along the road near the school in Port Erin, but a kind person stopped. Chivalry is not dead in the Isle of Man, says Mary. Hope you're well. Hope everything is getting better for you as well. Here's Bonzo. As I recall, the island receives vaccines from UK NHS supplies. Therefore, the island gets what the UK has available to allocate to us. Basically, we get what we're given. Big pharma conspiracies have nothing to do with it, basically. We get what we're given from the UK NHS. And a message in from Hayley, just regarding vaccines as well. You may be more at risk of some diseases if you're travelling in rural areas around the world, this is, says Hayley. Backpacking, staying in hostels or camping, or on a long trip rather than a package holiday, says Hayley. I think lots of young people will be fully vaccinated, otherwise they couldn't go backpacking, travelling in rural areas, or travelling at that inevitable gap year around the world. Says Hayley, we have vaccines for flu, chickenpox, polio, typhoid, hepatitis A, cholera, meningitis, yellow fever, hepatitis B, Japanese encephalitis, rabies, tick-borne encephalitis, and TB. Vaccines work, says Hayley. Get with the plan. You should get off the fence, Hayley. the gentleman who won't have a different COVID jab said, if you have measles, you get the same one every time. But the flu jab is different every year. So why not a variant on the COVID, says Roz. Everybody's urging Howard to get that booster jab as well. If you want more, sorry, everybody's asking about the thing happening in Ramsey. It's 6 o'clock. Well, it's at the moment the plans for the new Quayside are in Ramsey Town Hall, the commissioners at the top of Parliament Street. But it's Friday night, 6 o'clock, Ramsey Grammar School, if you want to see what the plans are. And Wilf says everybody's going to be down the pub, but I hope you're not if you're going to RGS and see there as well. A message in just to say, well said, Tommy. Well, we need more like Tommy as well. And Alan thinks Duan is a voice of reason as well. There's no evidence that wearing a damp piece, a frequently used piece of material over your nose and mouth will stop a virus, says Bry. He doesn't agree as well. I read the order paper and attachment for today's first Timbald on COVID measures. No mention of advice sought or taken from the EAG, says Andy. Why does the EAG actually exist? The enormous estimate due for... This is M. Thank you, M. The enormous estimate for repairs due to lack of maintenance on the Laxey wheel is indicative of all government estimates, which are beyond belief, says M. And that's the point. We didn't actually get to Laxey wheel, did we? We'll talk about it tomorrow. But the Laxey wheel, £750,000 to repair the Laxey wheel. First of all, do you believe it's only going to be £750,000? And why did it get to this state in the first place? If ongoing maintenance could have prevented it, then do you think they'd have spent £750,000 on ongoing maintenance over the past few years? Well, I suppose it depends on your view of who actually owns the Laxey wheel. The Manx National Heritage own the Laxey wheel? Does the Manx government own the Laxey wheel? Or does it belong to the people of the Isle of Man? Thanks to Howie Kane on producing Man in Line today. Back tomorrow at 12 noon.